As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome back to the latest post-game head of the pack. I'm Matt Schneidman here with Bill Huber. Bill's back in Wisconsin. I am here at the latest scene of the crime being the Washington Commanders' dismantling of the Green Bay Packers 23-21 here in Landover, Maryland. The Packers fall to 3-4, lost three straight games after not losing two in a row in the same regular season in the first three plus years under Matt LaFleur, with a trip to the Buffalo Bills on Sunday Night Football up next week. I don't really know where to begin with this one. I've run out of words to describe how bad this offense is. The defense falls apart late in games. Special teams is disintegrating. You know, Bill, one of the things that stuck out to me among a couple from postgame is Matt LaFleur saying, we'll find out what kind of team we have in the next couple days. They don't need any more time to know what kind of team they have. They're not a good football team. They're a bad football team. Through seven games. They shouldn't need any more time to find that out.
Yeah, kudos to you, Matt, for pointing that out to him, too. I mean, you called bullshit on that, right? We've heard it for 2 weeks. You called him out on it. So good for you. It's nonsense. All they have right now is hope.
Can you hear the vacuum in the background here in the press box?
No.
Okay, excellent. Go ahead. Continue.
All right. Is that cleaning up the mess of the Packers?
I mean, he is vacuuming up some garbage. Oh, is that the Packers offense I see over there?
Yeah. There goes another.
No, that's just another.
There goes another. That's just another flat for minus five.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
They've got nothing but hope, Matt, right? Rodgers was asked about by Pete Doherty about it. And, you know, he mentioned 2016 and how they ran the table and all that and how whether that was plausible. And Rodgers said, sure. Or you're goddamn right it is what Rodgers' official words were, but that's all they have is hope. They've got nothing on offense. The running game's terrible. They have no trust in the offensive line to actually try to pass the ball down the field. At one point in the first half, they faced, I might get the exact numbers wrong here, they faced first and 20, second and 25, and first and 19, I think. Well, good luck with that. The defense is okay in every first half and goes to hell in the second half, and the special team's gone the wrong way. They've got nothing, Matt. I have no idea how they fix it other than you get Bakhtiari back and maybe you trust your line to hold up some, but man, oh man, what a mess for a team that everybody thought was a championship contender, including myself, a month ago.
Funny thing is they're not that far out of the playoff picture since the NFC is so bad, but for all intents and purposes, look, I don't know if Rodgers believes what he said when he said, you're goddamn right, he thinks playoffs are still plausible. I don't know if he believes what he said when he said he's not worried about the team and maybe this is the best thing for them because they go to Buffalo heavy underdogs with no expectations and maybe it's a chance for them to shock everybody. Maybe the expectations have been weighing on them. I don't know. But listen, he has to say that. He can't say, yeah, I'm worried. Because he's the leader. He's talked the last couple weeks about conveying the proper message to the locker room. So if he stands up there and says, yeah, I'm worried, I'm panicking, what does that say to everyone else? The reality is this team is nowhere near a playoff team. I understand, you know, technically they are, but, you know, it's telling that when Rodgers said, what gives you belief that you can turn it around? He goes, well, we draw on what we've done in the past. And I followed up with him. I said, you mean the past, like this season in the past? And he said, no, past seasons. But past seasons are when they had Davante Adams, a healthy David Bakhtiari, guys who could tackle. They have nothing from the first seven games this year to draw on that provide any glimmer of optimism that they can turn it around, which is why I don't know if they can. Sure, they could prove me wrong. They could go and shock Buffalo. They could turn it around. They could finish 10-7 and squeeze into the playoffs and go on a run like they did their Super Bowl year. But it is not wrong, I don't think, to say they are engulfed in a dumpster fire. We've talked about how this was supposed to be the easy part of their schedule. And now they have the Bills, the Titans, the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Rams, and the Vikings in their next, you know, 10 games. That could be six losses right there. This could very well be a losing football team this year. And look, I want to get your opinion on this. One receiver isn't going to change this team. It's not going to make them better on offense. Maybe a little, but not much. The Green Bay Packers won't sell. But doesn't this team look like a team that should be sellers rather than buyers at the deadline?
Yeah, Matt. You know, there's a bunch of questions I know when we wrote the call for the fan questions about the trade deadline. You hate to put up the white flag of surrender, but like you said, what's one receiver going to do? There aren't, you know, it's not like, Matt, there's going to be four or five difference making guys out there. There's not, you know, Chase Claypool from Pittsburgh, might be available. He's pretty good, but is pretty good going to do anything for you? You know, it's not like Davante Adams 2.0 is going to come rolling through the door via trade. That guy's not out there. So I don't know. They look like they should sell. I don't think they will either, because that's would be quite the admission by the GM that he went all in this year and he's gonna blow it up after seven or eight games. But you're right. What can they possibly add to this team that's gonna actually provide a real jolt? Because they don't need just a guy. They don't need average starter. They need a guy who moves the needle, and I just don't see it out there. What are you doing? Yeah. If you're Goody, what are you doing?
Listen, in past years, we could sit here and say, oh, they're one receiver away or they're one this away. But they're more than that. And they need to get their own stuff fixed. Yankees up 1-0. They're still alive. You want to talk about false hope for a team? I'm surrounded by them right now. Yankees up 1-0 in the first.
When this podcast is over and you're listening to it tomorrow, it'll be a 4-0 sweep.
Whatever.
Anyway. Carry on.
It starts within.
Yep.
They have enough problems to fix in their own building. Maybe they do go out and get a Jerry Jeudy. Because Lord knows this team does not have any receivers who can consistently create separation and catch the ball. Man, they can't catch.
No.
And it's not just the receivers. And Aaron Rodgers said today, he was asked by Pete, you know, the Commanders rushed more than four guys on one of 47 defensive snaps. Pete asked Aaron, what does that tell you? And Rodgers said, I think you know what it says. They didn't think they needed to. They thought they could get home with four and cover up on the back end. And guess what? They were right. Yeah, the Packers offense scored 14 points. That's not good. It's not good at all. Against this team, we knew they had a good pass rush. But their secondary is terrible, and the Packers' receivers are non-existent, even when they do catch the ball. Amari Rodgers was the receiver that impressed me the most today. That should speak volumes. I don't think this game was on Aaron Rodgers as much as the last couple ones, but he still wasn't good. Bill, they went 0-for-6 on third down today. They had two third downs where illegal use of hands gave them a first down, but 0-for-6 on third down. Because the penalties don't count as converting third downs into first downs. The last time, according to Domovsky Stats and Info, the last time they failed to convert a third down in a game, week 6 of the 1999 season, Yankees up 2-0. Brett Favre went 7 of 23 for 120 yards against the Broncos with three interceptions that game. Matt LaFleur was a wide receiver at Western Michigan. Aaron Rodgers was a student at Pleasant Valley High School. Brutal.
Yeah, it's, man. In you know, I believe coming into this game, I believe Green Bay's defense was number one in third down and Washington was number three. Washington was almost at 50% against Green Bay's defense. And of course, the Packers did nothing, like you said. It's like the only hope they have for getting anything done is if Bakhtiari somehow comes back and can start every single game and be at that level. Because it's like they didn't trust anything, Matt. It was 1, 2, 3, get the ball. Heck, it wasn't even 1, 2, 3, get the ball. It was 1, get the ball out. There was just no trust that this line's going to hold up. Well, I guess what are you going to do? Zach Tom comes in and plays on a moment's notice to start, but whew. I mean, everyone's dropping passes. Jones, Dillon, Dobbs, just so on down the line. They ran the ball. How many times did they run the ball? 12 times. They ran the ball 12 times, including 3 times in the second half. It's like the same old story. LaFleur says they're playing hard, and he likes the effort, and they didn't quit. Oh, yeah, they didn't run the ball, and the quarterback didn't play good. They ran the ball 3 times in the second half, Matt. What are they doing?
Shocker that the Packers seem to abandon the run. And this is the thing, Bill. You know, switching over to the defensive side, yes, they struggle tackling. They struggle covering people. Two very important aspects of playing defense. Their $21 million a year cornerback, who said, "I want to follow Terry McLaurin," got burnt by Terry McLaurin when it mattered most. Got beat by him repeatedly when it mattered most. They can't set an edge in the run game. You know, they commit costly penalties. Yes, the one on Eric Stokes was questionable, but man, if that's not a microcosm for how his season's going, just nothing can go right for the guy. He's been really, really bad this year. Really bad.
You mentioned the McLaurin beating Alexander on the clinching first down. Was it second down, Matt? The clincher to McLaurin?
Yeah.
That's the pass Rodgers hasn't made all year, right? Kenny Clark is going to knock Heinicke into the middle of next week, and he did. And he stood in there and threw a perfect pass. He threw a perfect pass, and the receiver did everything right. He came back to the ball. Alexander's coverage was pretty good. McLaurin did exactly the right thing. He came back to the ball, kind of body positioned Alexander out of the way a bit and make the play. Rodgers hasn't thrown a ball like that all year, and they have no receiver capable of making a McLaurin-type play.
Correct.
So, I mean, man, if Tyler Heinicke's beating you with plays that the MVP can't make, I'll just pack up your bags. Or Jordan Love, right?
Yes, listen, the Giants are 6-1, the Jets are 5-2, so maybe they're better than we thought at the time the Packers played them. But this one is inexcusable. Commanders aren't a good team. They don't have their best defensive player in Chase Young. They have a backup quarterback. They have some competent playmakers. Packers couldn't generate a pass rush. They couldn't do anything. And my favorite interesting little tidbit from the game. So with 2 minutes and 6 seconds left after they completed that play you just talked about to McLaurin to essentially seal the game. So my favorite little interesting tidbit, not favorite, but just something I found interesting, was with 2 minutes and 6 seconds left after the Commanders converted that play you were just talking about to all but seal the game, the Packers front office, who sits right behind us in the press box at away games, got up and left, admitting defeat to one of the worst teams in the NFL. Brian Gutekunst, Mark Murphy, John Eric Sullivan, John Wojciechowski, Russ Ball, Ed Policy, and Milt Hendrickson. With 2 minutes and 6 seconds left, the Green Bay Packers front office, the people who have constructed this team, are no longer there in a game against the Washington Commanders. That's how far this team has fallen. No, now I'm not saying, oh, they shouldn't have left. Understandably so, they left. The game they thought was over. Granted, imagine if they weren't there when the Packers pulled off that miracle lateral, which they kind of almost did. But it just speaks to how far they've fallen in such short time. They've had a playoff bye week in each of the last 3 seasons, and now they're blowing double-digit leads to arguably the biggest laughingstock in the NFL, a team whose fans chant, "Sell the team," a team whose fans boo the owner's wife when she comes on the Jumbotron. Packers were the much bigger laughingstock here. You know, in past years, yeah, they had an uncharacteristic game like that, but they would lose to good teams. This is not a good team. This is not like the last 2 weeks. We don't need this week to know who the Packers are. They're not good. They're not a playoff team. They're not worthy of sniffing the playoffs. Maybe they turn it around, but I kind of agree with what you said last week. Can they turn it around? Is this salvageable? Technically, yes. Realistically, no.
It's unbelievable. And for everyone who says has wanted the Packers to go all in, look, I'm among them right here, right? You needed to shove all your chips in the table. What could be Rodgers' last hurrah? Well, this is what you get if it doesn't work out. They've got nowhere to turn other than salary cap hell. They got nothing. I'm literally blown away by it, Matt. I realize Davante Adams is a big trade, but if you get rid of him, but you're able to keep Devondre Campbell, and you sign Jaron Reed, and you make some moves in the draft, you feel like they would be pretty good, right?
Yeah.
You feel like drafting Quay Walker and signing Jaron Reed, the run defense would be better. We should play better run defense. You'd be able to rush the passer because you have more third and longs. So you can rush the passer, and you got all these ball hawks in the secondary, so you're going to pick off players or pick off the quarterback. So you figure, if they're going to lose on offense, they might make up for on defense getting cheap scores. The run defense is worse, Matt. I looked it up before this game, so I'm not sure where they came in after this. But this was on pace to be, in terms of yards per carry, the second worst run defense in franchise history. Behind the 1956 group, which didn't have 7 first-rounders on it.
Yeah, it's not good.
Everything that Gutekunst has done is blown up. And the offensive struggles, I understand. I guess I'm not surprised by them, but that they're so bad everywhere else is just mind-blowing. It throws into question, I think, everything about the team. Is Brian Gutekunst a good general manager? Is Matt LaFleur a good coach? I think it puts all these things into question.
I think it does. And listen, we'll never be able to accurately, I guess, delegate responsibility. We can guess, but Matt LaFleur keeps getting up there and saying, the plays I'm calling aren't good enough. Brian Gutekunst has a couple recent third-round picks who are complete wastes in Josiah DeGuara and Amari Rodgers. They just gave a contract to Aaron Rodgers that right now, quite frankly, looks terrible. And, you know, in the scene I was just describing with the front office leaving, Russ Ball, their executive vice president who's in charge of managing the cap, kind of stayed around for an extra minute, sat in the row by himself. And I just thought, he's probably just taking an extra minute to soak in and not soak in, but consider, think about whatever term you want to use. Man, I'm going to have to deal with an absolute disaster of a cap situation. Because guess what? If the Packers go quote-unquote all in, they're already all in, but if they trade future draft picks for people at the deadline, and let's say Rodgers retires after this year, they're still stuck with a massive number. What do they do with Bakhtiari? What do they do with some other key players? You know, Rasul Douglas and Devondre Campbell had a great pick six today, but in large part, the guys they gave big money contracts this offseason haven't lived up to it. Russ Ball's got a hell of a deal on his hands, and I'm going to write a story on that later this week about how this stretch is not only screwing the Packers in the short term, but potentially also the long term, because they pushed all their chips in the middle right now. They were going to take the hurt in the near and far future in exchange for championships. Well, guess what? They're 3-4. They're screwed.
Yep. And I don't know where they go, Matt, other than, you know, listen, you know, Mercedes Lewis has just got to work your way out of it. As cliche as that sound, I mean, that's all you can do, right? The Calvary's not coming through the door to fix these guys. You got to cut out the stupid penalties. They, man, God almighty, the number of holding penalties they've had the last couple of weeks is unpackers-like. And they were so grabby in the secondary. And I realize that Stokes, the call on Stokes was, but they grab a lot. I think if you grab a lot, those are going to come back to bite you at times.
Yep.
So I know I know Rasul's bitched about him a few times about some of the calls against the secondary, but they grab a lot. They don't play any run defense. The pass rush, I think, is pretty good. But man, oh man, it's Tyler Heinicke, for God's sakes.
I mean, listen, I wrote this in my story, but the defensive backs almost had as many drops as the wide receivers today and the running backs. And I think Tonyan even had one, and he never drops passes. Like, Rasul Douglas dropped two passes, including a potential pick six. Jair Alexander dropped an interception. I mean, maybe they play defensive back because they can't catch. But then again, the Packers wide receivers can't really catch all that well either. So you can't really tell the difference right now, which is not great.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, let's get to some questions. From Anthony J. Machinsky, what was your genuine reaction to "I'm not worried, this might be the best thing for us"? This is a guess. I could be completely wrong. I don't think he believes that. He has to say that because he's in charge of controlling the message. And what kind of leader would he be if he got up there and said, "I don't believe in us, I am worried," 7 games into the season? Aaron Rodgers is realistic about this team. He knows they stink. Are the playoffs,
you're right,
are the playoffs plausible? They're possible. Plausible? I don't know. So for him to get up there and staunchly say, "I definitely think we can turn it around, this is the best thing for us." No, it's not the best thing for you, and you know that.
Yeah, I mean, he's watching the film. He knows every time he goes back there that maybe somebody's going to get open, maybe not. There are such high expectations for, well, maybe high expectations from our perspective. Reasonable ones by Rodgers about Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson, and Doubs is backtracked in a hurry. Now that 4th-and-1 drop that he had, that's probably more than Sammy Watkins for not blocking anybody on that. But he hasn't done anything in a while, and Watson's perpetually hurt. So the two guys who they really needed to be kind of stepping into the forefront now, one is going the wrong way, and one can't get in the field. So yeah, I'm guessing Rodgers does not believe that whatsoever. But he can't throw in the white flag at surrender publicly, right? He's got to say it like you said.
Correct. All right, next. From Clay E., will the team sell? Not should they, but will they? And if so, who are the likely candidates? No, they won't, like we just said. I don't mean this as a degrading thing, but Brian Gutekunst's ego is too big, like you said, to admit that this team is so screwed that they have to sell. He'll likely be in the mix for some guys. I don't know if he'll get them. They're always in the mix. Who knows if they actually get someone, but are they going to be willing to part with future draft picks to get a guy when they know that, you know, I'm not saying a rebuild is likely, but that eye to the future starts becoming more relevant as these games start stacking. So no, they have too much pride, whether it's reasonable or not, to sell.
Right. And if this is Rodgers last year, you know, who knows, right? But I think you've got to milk it for every last bit. I don't think you can throw the towel in the season until the standings say you can throw the towel in the season. So I think As long as there's a chance, right?
I guess so.
that famous line, as long as there's a chance, I think you can't sell. I would say that maybe you're less apt to be aggressively go after somebody at this point. Maybe you get somebody that you like at your price,
right,
rather than thinking, well, this price is a bit high, but we have to do it. So it might be a more reasonable, or I shouldn't say reasonable, it might be more of a cautious approach to buying. I don't think they'll sell.
Next.
Here's one from Adam Schein, Matt. Who do you blame most for the Yankees?
Listen. Ooh, the team that's going to be in the World Series? Nestor Cortez strikes out Chaz McCormick. 2-0 Yankees after 1.5. Get out of here. We're making the World Series. Next. Although Adam Schein, fellow Syracuse grad, shout out. Although Syracuse almost made the college football playoff. That's a whole nother topic. From at Iowa Seth. Man, if you root for Iowa football, I'm sorry, Seth. And the Packers, Jesus, it must be a hard football season for you. All right. I'm choosing optimism, he says. Do I have a leg to stand on? An Agberry is a decent third edge. Walker looked good in pass rush. I like Yash at RT and Tom and Elton held down the left side. If the D does focus and tackling drills and LaFleur and Rodgers get on the same page, is there hope? Man, that's a lot of things.
I was only six numbers away from winning the Powerball.
I don't know if there's that much to be optimistic over. Listen, an Agberry is a decent third edge, yes. But what's concerning is their best edge rusher can't set literally the first word of his position, edge. He can't set an edge in the run game. Quay Walker misses too many tackles. Yash committed 2 penalties at right tackle. Zach Tom, like, we can't really judge the offensive line because they didn't really have to do much today, in the passing game at least. Because, like you said, Rodgers got rid of that thing like a hot potato. Tackling drills, they don't do those. You're not going to get realistic reps on that in practice. They stink at tackling this year. If LaFleur and Rodgers get on the same page, I don't know if they are. Listen, you guys tell us on TV. I see all these body language questions. We're watching the game in person, so we don't see like the replay all the time or watch the game in real time and see what his body language is. I saw him a couple times kind of throwing up his hands at the sideline. That's just who he's been. That's not going to change, especially when things are going like this.
Yeah.
But other than that, everything's butterflies and rainbows.
That's so right. Yeah. I think the only hope is if Bakhtiari suddenly, which look, it's not going to happen, right? I mean, it looks like he for sure he was going to play on Friday and then doesn't play today. But if he can suddenly feel good for the rest of the season, maybe they can open up the offense some. But man, oh man, that's the only hope is David Bakhtiari. And if David Bakhtiari is your only help, it doesn't look good. Speaking of David Bakhtiari, man, here's one from Ant707GB. This seems like a good jumping in point on the O-line. Why Yash at right tackle instead of left tackle? If I'm not mistaken, Zach Tom played right tackle in the preseason. That's true, Ant. It's because that's what they repped it all week. They had Bakhtiari right at left tackle, Jenkins left guard, Myers center, Runyon right guard, and Yash or in Elton at right tackle. That's what they practice all week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You're better off just swapping in one guy rather than blowing up the entire game plan. So there's that. Matt, how do you think they did? I know you kind of said they didn't have to do much, but I guess big picture, what do you think of that old line with Bakhtiari in it?
With Bakhtiari in it?
Yes, Bakhtiari with the other before they ran out there today.
I think it's fine. To be honest with you, Bakhtiari, Jenkins, Myers, Runyon, Jenkins, that should be fine. They didn't put a lot on Zach Tom's plate. Now, is this recurring knee injury to Bakhtiari? Is this just a one-game thing? Is this going to keep him out longer? That will be important. Rodgers spoke to the importance of Bakhtiari's inclusion in the lineup today, and he's right about that. And Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is even getting doubles. The Astros are just letting us win this one. That's fine. Listen, I think that's a good offensive line, the one I just said. We'll see once they start getting tested more if this group, if they have to keep going, will hold up. But man, that Bakhtiari recurring injury has to be nerve-wracking for Packers fans, the Packers themselves, because he plays four games, played 69 offensive snaps last week, got through the practice week until he didn't. And you remember on Friday, we were there like, Bakhtiari's not stretching and warming up with the team. Then he went outside with the team. Then he's added to the injury report as questionable. Something's fishy there, and it's not anything good. And Ryan Wood, who covers the team for the Green Bay Press Gazette, tweeted out a fascinating quote from Zach Tom. Here's Ryan's tweet. Packers rookie Zach Tom said he learned about his first career start at left tackle when he got to the stadium this morning. That doesn't mean he went to bed Saturday with no clue he might play. You can just see it, Tom said. The way Bakhtiari looks in practice sometimes, you've always got to be ready. Jesus. The way he looks in practice sometimes. That's not good. Someone's going to have a talk with Zach Tom about saying that. Bakhtiari might stuff him in a locker. But B, man, if he just looks hurt in practice sometimes, that's sad, Bill.
It is. He's one of the greatest ever. That's not even hyperbole. He's one of the greatest ever. And there's no way he's going to be back next year. You can put Yash back in at left tackle next year. That's probably the way to go. But man, oh man. Right when he's played four games in a row. He practiced every single day the last 2 weeks. Right when you think they may be getting around the corner here, which is why they made all these line switches to begin with, probably, is they felt reasonably good about him playing every game. There it goes again. Where it's going to be, I think. You know, maybe if he gets a whole offseason to rest it, maybe, but probably not.
Yeah. Next. From at Goody Goat. Oh, maybe not after today. Why does the offense seem to run strictly shotgun? Seems like a vast departure from past MLF seasons. Bill, the one shotgun play that boggled my mind is that 4th-and-1 to Dobbs. Not only do you run out of shotgun, you don't run A.J. Dillon on 4th-and-1 and instead throw the out to Dobbs that he drops. Jason Wilde asked LaFleur the other day about running so much shotgun, and he explained how against the Jets, you know, they were leaving the field open and their shotgun runs have been a lot better, he says, lately. But, man, isn't a way to keep an opposing pass rush off your ass, like Mark Tauscher said on Twitter today, to run out of plays under center, run the ball, play action. Out of shotgun, that pass rush can just pin their ears back and go.
Yeah, I know LaFleur said last week that their shotgun running game had improved a lot, which is why they've been doing it. Whatever. Just hand the ball off the once in a while, right? I mean, they ran the ball 12 times. If they're 4th-and-1, that play works if Watkins blocks somebody. Instead, Watkins goes off for a route, and it's a receiver screen, so the guy who's on Watkins has a free run at Dobbs, and that's that. But it's just mystifying why they took all training camp and all preseason and all the start of the season, 33 and 28 are our best 11 players. They got to get them the ball. I mean, we heard it again and again and again, and they are among our best players. But today, Dillon had three touches and Dillon had three runs. Jones actually had like 17 touches if you count the catches. So he was involved at least. But I just don't understand for the life of me why they don't run the ball. And again, we'll never know if that's a LaFleur thing, if it's a Rodgers thing, or what it is. But man, oh man, how many 3rd-and-1/4th-and-1s is Dillon back there and he doesn't get the ball? He's 250 pounds, for God's sakes.
Yeah, he hasn't been very good this year at getting yards after contact, but still, true. I trust him to get 1 yard.
Yes, it's 1 yard. You got to be able to trust your line to get a yard. Heck, you got to trust your line to get zero, and you're running back to get the one, right? It's not a big ask.
Yep.
Here's a going from Brian M., Avid Indoors, Minnesota. Is the season over? This is the other one. When do we start rooting for a top-tier draft pick?
I half-jokingly said to Rob Domofsky on our way down to the press box today, you know, let's say they go 5-12 and they beat the Bears and the Lions, even 6-10, and they're in position to draft one of the 3-4 best quarterbacks in the draft. If Rodgers wants to come back, do they trade him and draft a quarterback early in the first round?
Whew.
C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young are going to be gone in the first two picks. The Packers won't get those.
What do you get for him with this? I mean, A, you have to deal with the cap disaster. But if you can deal with the cap disaster and get another pick, or you know, like not another pick, but another good pick, boy, they could have traded him this offseason, Matt. Right? But I don't blame him for not doing it.
Yeah. Let's get one more question in. You got a good one that you want?
Since we're talking about quarterbacks, is a hurt Aaron Rodgers better than a healthy Jordan Love?
Yes.
That's from D-A-D or Dad Dave 34. I can read.
All these people calling for Jordan Love, I'll say this. Be careful what you wish for. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, you're probably right, but actually, no, you're not probably. You mean you are right, but if you had Love back there, would they actually run the ball and maximize the strengths of their team? That I wonder.
We'll see. They'll never do it. They'll never give Aaron Rodgers a phantom IR stint. He wouldn't do that. But you have to wonder, do I think Jordan Love would be better? No.
No.
I don't. But it's an interesting hypothetical. One that will continue to be a hypothetical because he will not start. Anyway, next week, Buffalo. Actually, Orchard Park, New York, not Buffalo. Packers-Bills, Sunday Night Football. Will the Packers pull off a miracle and get back to 500? Will they keep it competitive, show some fight, and lose? Or will they get absolutely blown out and show no fight? We'll see. Could be one of the three. Until then, he's Bill. I'm Matt. We'll catch you guys next week. Thanks, as always, for listening.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.